Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend and welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along this weekend. Indiana State Police Trooper Sergeant Matt Ames, the Public Information Officer, the SGTPIO for ISP in our district. Got all that right?
That's correct.
He's joining us today. So how's things going in your world? All good?
Everything's going good for the Putnamville State Police Post right now. We just got a brand new district lieutenant, David Cox. Guy's got 27 years of experience on the department. He's very excited to be the new district commander and is going to lead us in the directions that we need to go.
Obviously, I mean, I'm sure there's paperwork and stuff involved, but what does a district commander really do? I mean, okay, from the outside looking in, myself, looks to me like pretty much anything he would do is pretty much prescribed, and it's kind of run-of-the-mill type stuff. But,
sure.
You know, I mean, you got to, it's like any other job. You've got people that work for you. You got to make sure that you mark down their days off and all that kind of stuff. But so what's he really do besides that?
He's responsible to make sure that everyone's doing their jobs appropriately. He's there to help guide anyone that has any questions, whether it's in their personal life or whether it's a law enforcement question. He's also there to help motivate the troopers to be out there working every single day to provide the proper protection and community service that we're doing for the state of Indiana.
I'm assuming he's also keeping an eye on the new guys, too, because you guys just got a couple of new troopers assigned to this post, didn't you?
We have two new troopers, Matthew Ray, who's going to be assigned to the Putnam and Clay County, and then Brooke Spencer, who's assigned down to Sullivan County as being his primary county. Brooks has prior experience of being a Sullivan City police officer, and Trooper Ray is he's as green as they come, and he's excited to come out and work on the road. And we're very glad to have both of them out here on solo patrol right now to provide community service and make sure that we're making the roadways and safer for everyone to be able to travel.
And don't go speeding by him because he's having a lot of fun writing tickets now, right?
Exactly. Both of them are.
So now they're not supposed to do that though, but
right.
But sometimes it can be fun, right?
It can be fun.
Yeah. Hey, one of the reasons why we brought you in here is one of the things we're all very concerned about. Summer, springtime is here. Now, of course, we're all familiar with the dangers on the road in the winter when things get slick. But in the summertime, there's a lot of different things that we run into that can cause a lot of problems. And not the least of which, springtime is planting season. And there are some vehicles on the road now that are a whole lot bigger than normal. And you got to watch out for them.
That is true. You know, here in the state of Indiana, we have over 50 million acres that are being serviced by the farmers presently right now. And what we're asking for the motorists to do is make sure that you are providing to be alert when you see the when you see the farm equipment out on the roadway, you know, as they're pulling their plow and or their planting equipment, they're going to be taking up a large portion of the roadways. Make sure that you're being courteous and make sure that you're being patient. If you see that vehicle in front of you, and if you have to take an alternate route, to go ahead and do so. A lot of times we're seeing experiencing problems on the rural county roads. Number one, the farmer's experiencing troubles where he's looking out for motorists out there traveling, but he's also looking at mailboxes. He's looking at low-hanging wires that are on the road near the road. So he's got a lot going on, or he or she does, is operating that piece of equipment. So you need to make sure that you're coming up to it. If the piece of a farm equipment is coming towards you, you may want to take the opportunity to pull off into a driveway so that way you can give the farmer plenty of room to get going to where he or she may need to be going to their to the proper land.
A couple of things to look out for is that a lot of this ag gear is self-propelled, but some of it is also riding around on the backs of other trucks, which can be problematic in and of itself because whoever's driving that then has the vehicle with all the heavy load on it. So there's lots of things to be aware of there too, right?
Yes. We also ask for people to make sure that you're not following a farm equipment too close because they're going to make sudden stops. They're going to be making large, wide turns. And of course, they're going to have some some dirt and stuff like that's going to be falling off of their farm equipment. We don't want that damaging anyone's vehicles.
Now, I know there's lots of laws and rules and that kind of stuff that pertains to this. And, you know, there's going to be some folks going to say, I thought you were supposed to pull over after so far. So what's the legality, not only for the farmer driving there, but for the motorist who is trying to deal with them and maybe they aren't quite as smart as they think they are when they know what they should and shouldn't do.
Well, that's kind of a twofold question. Number one, like we said earlier, we're asking for the general public or the general motorist to make sure that you're being patient around them. But for the farmer who's operating that piece of equipment, The state law states that if you have more than three vehicles that are behind you, you need to be finding an area to be able to pull over out of the way so that the motor vehicle can get behind you. But some of the things that we also ask is just if the farm equipment is going to be run in the morning hours or at dusk, that you make sure that you have a vehicle behind you that's operating with their emergency lights on. We understand that they're going to have their slow moving emblem light on, and they're also going to have their hazard lights on their tractor. But to have that extra piece of cushion with the other vehicle behind them, that's going to allow motorists to see them a little bit quicker, especially sometimes in the sunrise early in the mornings. It is very difficult when you're driving towards the east. If the sun hits your windshield just right, people do have problems seeing. By having that extra piece of pickup truck behind that vehicle with its emergency lights on, that allows the motorist to see it a little bit sooner and allows a little bit of cushion for the piece of farm equipment. And the reason why is that, you know, let's say a motor vehicle hits a farm equipment, a large plow or a tractor itself, there's not a lot to give to those, unfortunately. They weigh a lot, and they're a very big piece of equipment to do what kind of work they need to do in the fields. So we want to make sure that we can make the roadways as safe as possible.
And they're not designed like another vehicle out there to be involved in an accident. There are things that protrude off tractors and other implements that are hooked onto them that may very well clear your hood and enter the passenger compartment.
Absolutely.
Without any problem. I mean, there's just, things are designed a whole lot different.
Yes, exactly. And that's why we're asking for people just to be patient when you get around those vehicles. And everyone just needs to be aware, hey, it's planting season here in the state of Indiana. We've got to make sure that we're allowing our farmers enough room to be, so that way that they can operate their equipment so we can get the crops in the ground so that we can all prosper and be able to sit down and have a good meal in the evening.
Not everybody sits around and reads the driver's manual from the state, which is all-encompassing like you guys do. But what's the requirement for tractors and ag equipment on the roadway? I mean, are they supposed to be, okay, they all have the triangles maybe for slow, are they required to have certain lighting and that kind of stuff too?
They are required to have certain lighting. A lot of times you'll see where they have just the emergency strobe lights now, so it draws a little bit more attention to their vehicles. Mm-hmm. They are required to have the emergency slow emblem and have their hazard lights on the vehicle. A lot of times we can tell the driver when you come up behind a farmer, they're going to be looking in the rearview mirror, and then a lot of times they will try to make eye contact with you if you're trying to get around them. And, you know, they're going to turn around, they're going to give you the arm motion that, hey, it's okay. But the most important thing we want people to realize that when you're attempting to go around them, you need to make sure that you're trying to take as much room away from that vehicle as possible. But you also need to know when you're trying to make an attempt to pass. We want people passing on near a railroad track, near intersections, or, of course, in a bridge area, because the farmer's going to have to move over for that bridge, and all of a sudden you may think that you're clear to pass, and he's moving his farm equipment over so he's not hitting a guardrail. Or if you come up to an area where there's going to be several mailboxes, he's also not trying to take out the mailboxes too, and he may have to take that piece of equipment, or she may have to get moved over appropriately so they're not taken out and having to replace a bunch of equipment doing damage to their farm equipment.
One of the other things, too, to think about is that if you're a motorist, probably keep an eye on the farmer themselves, because they're setting up a whole lot higher than you are, and they can see a whole lot better what's coming on down the road at you.
That is
so
correct.
Pay attention. The nice ones will help direct you when you can safely go around.
Exactly. They will help you.
Yeah, the nice ones will. Now, the other thing, too, is the fact that that farm gear doesn't necessarily easily maneuver off the side of the road.
No, like, it does not.
I mean, they don't want to tip it over. They don't, you know, or get into some other kind of mess. So that's why you kind of want to make sure you pay attention to what they're doing, too.
Exactly. You want to make sure that, because if they get off the roadway just too far, I mean, all of a sudden they could roll that piece of equipment. And that's the last thing you want to do, because now their farm equipment's down and they're stuck in the mud.
Or they could get killed.
They could.
And it happens. When tractors and stuff roll, sometimes farmers get hurt. Now, as a motorist, though, are you required to give them any special dispensation, so to speak, when you're driving? I mean, more so than anybody else?
The most important thing we're asking people right now is just to make sure that you're being alert, that you're seeing what the farmers out there. Of course, be courteous and make sure that you're being a patient driver. Sometimes it's very hard for people that are traveling now to be patient. There's so much stuff going on in the world, but please just take the opportunity to slow down, give the farmer enough room so that they can operate their piece of equipment, and make sure that you're safe out there on the roadway
Or one of the things that I saw the other day, if you don't like tractors on a county road, then don't drive on a county road.
That's true. Most of them are dirt roads anyway. They're going to get your vehicle
dirty. So, of course, summertime is coming up, and I don't know, one of the most dangerous areas is I-70 here in our area. Not as much traffic this or construction this year?
Not in the Putnamville district. There's not going to be as much construction. Right now, we're planning for sometime late in the summer, around the 16-mile marker, they're going to be putting up information signs both on the eastbound and westbound lanes. The only closest construction we're going to have is going to be in Hendricks County, which is going to be around the 59 to 57 mile marker, and that's which the Monrovia exit is, due to the expansion there with all the new warehouses and the three-lane road that they have going above on 267, I believe that's what the state road
is. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I'm 100% sure. Yeah. But that's the only place in our area that we're going to have actual road construction. Now, I do know, I talked to our first sergeant this morning, Indianapolis is going to have anywhere between 40 to 50 active construction zones and going around 465 and I-70 through the Indianapolis area. What we ask is that you can follow your local NDOT on Twitter or also on Facebook, and they will post on there what lane restrictions there are and how long those lane restrictions will go on for. And, of course, you can just listen to the local radio stations as they put that information out on a regular basis.
I know that up in Indianapolis, one of the big problems they're going to have up there is around the north-south split, around where was it, 69 and 70 come together, I think? Or is it 65? But they're going to have some problems up there.
Oh, it's 65 right now.
Yeah, where they're shutting it down.
Yeah.
You just can't get through it because they're going to go at it like crazy to try to get it, hurry up and get it done, so they're not going to have lanes shut down. They're just shutting down the whole roadway.
Yeah, and that's the thing that they've been doing here in the past, and they think that they can just, it makes it safer for the public to get through. They can take 465 to get around Indianapolis, and then you can just take an adjoining road that you need to get where you need to get. It's safer for the workers that are working, and it allows traffic to move more smoothly.
And one of the things people need to remember, too, that if you're not looking out for what you should be looking out for when you drive through a construction zone, there's somebody in that pretty two-tone blue uniform.
That's true. We do have, we will have officers assigned to each one of the NDOT zones. They're there to make sure that they're watching the backup, and they're also looking for people that are just driving too recklessly coming through the construction zones. And of course, in a construction zone, it's not your normal ticket of $100 and some. It's going to be $400+ and additional points that will be assessed to your driver's license.
Now, there are going to be people that will say this, and this is the only reason I bring it up, is because, you know, everybody loves Monday morning quarterbacking, right?
Oh, everyone loves to do that.
So I see a state cop. He's sitting in the middle of a construction zone. Well, that idiot up in front of me, he's driving like a fool. Why didn't he pull him over? All right. Why don't you? What's the procedure for pulling somebody over in a construction zone?
Sometimes by stopping a vehicle in a construction zone, the officer can do more harm. It may be better for that officer to be able to sit towards what we call it the queue, or towards the back of a backup, to make sure that we're notifying traffic that, hey, traffic is getting ready to slow ahead of you. That's why you'll see an officer sitting alongside the roadway with their emergency lights on. You're like, well, what is that? What's that trooper doing? Is he just sitting there doing nothing? No, we're trying to notify you. And they may be sitting on the right side of the road or left side of the road. If they're sitting on the right side of the road, we need you to go to the left side of the road. If they're on the left, go to the right side of the road. And just continue to flow in traffic. And we ask also that when you're going through the construction zone, make sure that you're traveling at a safe speed. Most of our construction zones are posted at 45 miles per hour. We need you to travel through the construction zone at 45, not 25, because once a vehicle goes through the construction zone at a reduced speed, then that's when we begin to have our backups. And then before one backup leads to several more, and we may have a half mile, and within 10 minutes, it can turn around and be a 2-mile backup. And that's when you will continue to see the trooper moving backwards, trying to notify that motorist that, hey, traffic is getting ready to slow ahead of you.
And also the trucks sometimes aren't able to go as fast as you would like them to, or they maybe go a little bit slower. I mean, some of these drivers don't really have any choice. There's devices on their trucks that slow them down when they're out on the open roadway.
There is.
That's as fast as they can go.
That is correct. And also they have mechanisms on their, as a safety device, on how close they are allowed to travel to another vehicle, too, that slows their vehicle down for them.
Really? Okay, now that's something new. I didn't know that.
Yeah, automatically. It'll break for them. Like, okay, that's just another mechanism they have.
Let's hope it works right.
But it is a very, you know, and I do a lot of commercial motor vehicle inspections out here. truck drivers out here, they're trying to make a living for themselves and for their family, and they're trying to do the best that they can. I know that the motorist gets very frustrated with them sometimes, but we just ask for you to be courteous around them, allow them enough room so that way they can operate their vehicle safely. Because unfortunately, when we get accidents involving commercial motor vehicles, unfortunately, someone's usually going to the hospital and a lot of time for cleanup and a lot of injuries to people.
Well, and especially too, you get behind the proverbial truck in the left-hand passing lane who then starts up a hill.
That's true. Yeah. One's going 63, the other one's going 63.4 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And we do understand that that gets very frustrating for the motorist out here, and we do try to take the appropriate actions for that.
And you kind of wish that truck driver had planned ahead a little bit. There's still not much he can do as far as hurrying up and getting around.
No.
Maybe they've got it on the floor, and that's just what it does.
Just the drag strip. I-70 is the drag strip, just trying to get around the truck driver.
You know, it is, because you're out there a
slow
lot.
Slow drag strip for them is what I'm saying.
Maybe for them, but I was going to say, have you ever found anybody that drives under 80 on I-70?
Well, I do when I'm up there traveling.
Yes, I know, and I've seen everybody lined up behind you.
Yeah, but May is arriving here. You know, we're just the pace car out here trying to keep things moving smoothly. But yeah, we're addressing those situations. We're definitely going to see some more troopers out on the interstate as the temperatures start to rise and the traveling weather gets better. And our district lieutenant, along with the squad sergeants, are addressing the needs of the public with the highways up there on Interstate 70.
And as far as the construction goes, if you see somebody flying through a construction zone, just because the trooper that's there doesn't pull them over in the construction zone, doesn't mean there's not somebody that looks just like them at the end of it.
That's correct.
With a radio.
And we do work as in teams on those type of situations, so that way we can get those things addressed.
Well,
our number one priority is to make sure that we're trying to make the roadways as safe as possible for everyone to travel. But just make sure you're being patient, make sure that you're not driving while distracted, and following all the signs out there.
And you guys have rules that you have to play by too when you're out doing this kind of stuff, which is what a lot of people don't seem to understand, which is why we bring you in here to talk about it.
That's correct.
There's a method to the madness.
we're trying to take the totality of the circumstances into consideration, whether or not it's going to benefit us by stopping that vehicle, or whether or not we need to let that one go to provide a safer, whether or not we're working the backup so that motorists can know that we're there.
And you mentioned it too. If you get into a wreck with the big rigs that are out there, I mean, you've seen this, I know probably more than the rest of us have, because I've done the stories on it. If a regular passenger car gets into some kind of wreck with a big rig, 9 out of 10, this is my guesstimation, you can confirm it or tell me I'm wrong, the person in the car is going to get very close, if not die, and the person driving the truck is going to go, huh, and then walk away.
That does occur a lot.
Yeah. I mean, more often than not, a lot of the stories that I get and I do around here, the person in the car dies and the truck driver, the truck looks like a mess, but he kind of just walks away from it and is rarely hurt because of the size of the truck. He's pretty well protected and the other guy's not.
And people need to realize that those things are weighing, most of them are anywhere between 50 to 80,000 pounds, depending on what kind of load they have going down the road, and they're not going to be able to stop on a dime like you think you can.
Really?
Yeah. It's just how it works, unfortunately.
I had no idea. All right. Well, anything else we need to know about for the summer?
Nope. We just ask for everyone just to be out here traveling safely. Make sure you're buckled up. Don't drive while distracted. And please pay attention to the speed limit signs.
All right. Sergeant Matt Ames, the Indiana State Police, our public information officer for the Putnamville District. Thanks for being with us today. That's it for this week's show. If you missed part, you want to hear some more of it or go back and listen to it again, we've got it available for you as a podcast right now on our website. And we'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.